Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim Rashid's music, and if you've ever heard him or seen him perform, that last note, I mean, the brother is getting down with that horn on that last note. I mean, you can just feel it coming right at you. Nazim Rashid, thank you so much for the opening and closing music for the student to teacher show. This is Professor Applewhite, and I am on a great, great just wonderful feeling today. My feeling tone is wonderful because I've heard so many things coming back to me from all of you out there, just jazzed about what we're talking about, you know, angry students. And, you know, it's a phenomenon, you know. I mean, the anger that we're seeing is just beyond the norm, beyond what you would expect for a society, a so-called civilized society. And because we're seeing random violence as a result of this anger, random violence. I mean, it's not just, you know, there was a time and place when people were angry, they were angry at, you know, one person, you know, they came after that one person. And then it has moved now into where people are showing, you know, anger towards a group. You know, we got the gang thing going on. I guess that probably started, you can go back to the early gangster days. Great movie, The Streets of New York or Gangs of New York, gave you a really good history of gang warfare and the anger that developed from gang activity. And then it moved into the streets, especially the streets in our urban areas and our so-called ghettos of America. And people were becoming angry at all of the issues that were happening in their community. And these are all students and teachers. Yes, teachers angry too. Teachers angry, teachers confused about why there's so much anger. And so when you look at, you know, the history of violence in itself and why people have taken this angry nature and turned it into this random violence at people that had nothing to do with with the original reason for what the anger was about in the first place. I mean, you know, if you think about Columbine High School, let's just go to that for a minute. You know, when you go to Columbine and you see that, and Columbine, you had these two guys that were had some mental health issues, depression mostly. We find that a lot with the with students who are angry, with people that are angry, period. And here they are, their anger becomes so involved that they actually start targeting people that have nothing to do with the whole purpose of why they're angry. You know, at first it was about let's get back at the girls that turned us down, okay? And let's get back at the students who made fun of us. But then it changed, didn't it? It changed into, I'm just going to shoot up everybody. And that has become the trend of angry, the angry student. The angry student, as teachers and others in the community are looking out, they're saying, wait a minute. Could this anger result in something else? We better take a second look. Or, unfortunately, the reverse side, the flip side of that is, oh, it's not that serious. And that's where it gets into problems. When we don't recognize that when someone's angry, they're sending a message out. What's the message that they're sending? Are they sending a message to say, you better pay attention to what's going on with me because I am mad about something? And that means that could turn into a violent act. You know, we have to understand that in any classroom environment, just focusing on classroom. Now you know that the student to teacher show is not just about the academic teacher or the academic student, because we're all students and teachers. We learn from each other and we share information with each other, and that's what makes us students and teachers. However, just going into the classroom environment, we can see that there are many teachers that are not taking a responsible attitude about examining where anger is coming from. They're either going from one end of the spectrum where they're exaggerating the situation. And, you know, Michelle Obama's on the news now and just made a statement about, I think she was targeting Sarah Palin, when she said that many times because of her ethnicity that people are assuming that she is an angry black woman. Okay? Well, my friends, this is also a phenomenon that's happening in the classroom with many teachers that are looking at students of a certain ethnic group who are saying, that's an angry black student. And when it's an angry black student, it seems to be more serious than any other type of angry student. So we've got to be careful of the responsibility we have as teachers in a classroom to send out a message that says, because you are of a particular ethnic group, I'm going to be more afraid of you. And actually, when we look at across the board the diversity of people, of students who are involved in this angry attitude and the result of violence on the campus, on school campuses, we see a diverse ethnicity happening here. We see Cho at the Virginia Tech University, who is of Chinese origin. And we see just recently the student who did the shooting where Representative Gifford was involved in the shooting. He was a European-American, white American. A lot of white Americans are involved in a lot of the random shooting violence on campus across the board. So to target any one ethnic group, I think, is an irresponsible act. I'd like to know your comments on that out there listening right now. Call in to me at 646-727-3758. I'm so happy to see that there are people listening out there, but I want to hear your comments, so make sure that you indicate to me that you'd like to say something. But I'm also, and let me open up chat. I'm so sorry I didn't open that up right away. So I know that we do get people coming in and want to chat with us. And so that is open now. And your comments, if you choose, will be kept anonymous as far as your name. But feel free to discuss why you think this angry phenomenon is going on right now. And what are your feelings about what I just said just now about Michelle Obama's statement about, you know, this angry black woman statement, or how that's converted many times by teachers, not necessarily white teachers, but teachers who are looking out into their classroom and saying that's an angry black student, or, you know, I better be careful because that's he looks and acts, or she acts, like a gang member. And so, you know, being angry, she might or he might, you know, want to hurt me. You know, and that's definitely a reality. That's a possibility now. I'm not, you know, denying that and minimizing that. But I'm saying that we need to move away from just assuming that because of a person's skin color, that their anger is going to progress to a stage that wouldn't be seen in someone of any ethnic group. If you're angry, you're angry, and that's it, okay? So let's be careful of how we look at anger and interpret anger, because I had given a pretty good, and I just want to reiterate, I try not to say the same thing on one show that I've said on another, even though we're in a series here, but there's some things that require that we review. And one of them is the definition of anger, because I want to make sure that we understand that anger is a very real thing, and it's an automatic response. Now, this is from Wikipedia, so you can find this yourself, an automatic response to what we perceive as ill treatment. Okay, it's an unpleasant response. As a psychologist, I talk a lot about stimulus and response. And so something stimulates this angry feeling inside of us, and we respond in an angry way. It's an emotion, and it's a psychological interpretation. Okay, and the reason why there's concern is not just because of the fact that anger can turn into violence and hurt not only the person, those around, those that don't have anything to do with the anger. So that's one part of why this show is so important, this particular episode, is because of the harm to self and society. But there's also, without going to that extreme of looking at anger turning into violence, because sometimes it doesn't result, most times, it does not result in actually playing out the anger. Usually people either express it by screaming, yelling, cussing, or whatever, and they hold that inside of them. And I mentioned last week, and I had some interesting responses to what I said, that anger is an opposing force of depression. So when people are angry, what happens is that anger turned inward results in depression. And so you'll find that many people who are depressed
really are angry about something that they feel a sense of helplessness about, that they can't do anything about it. And so this angry reaction, this agitation that they feel inside of them becomes involved in what we call, let me put this in just layman terms, a physical response from the brain that says, I either need to fight this out or I need to leave it alone, called the fight or flight response. And so our brain automatically starts processing the anger that we have, and it can result in all kinds of issues, physiological issues of increased heart rate and blood pressure and all kinds of levels of adrenaline, and all kinds of things happen when we feel anger. And students who are angry are feeling all of this. Now, anger as we know it, we usually know when someone's angry because we see, you know, their face, right? Isn't that the usual, their body language? It's a physiological thing. We respond, and we see it, and we think, ooh, wow, this is pretty aggressive. You're an aggressive individual. Sometimes we ask, what are you angry about? I hope we do. I hope we do. I hope we take the step when we see people who are angry, especially now in this day and time, and ask them, why are you angry? I maybe even say, you know, I'm angry too. I feel angry. Because there's this underlying current of anger that's going on. And so we need to understand that amongst each other, we need to understand it. And we need to understand it for ourselves individually, what that means. You know, when we talk about anger, usually people express it in, you know, like their eyes are glaring and their sometimes their fists are tightened. They bare their teeth. They stare at you. It feels totally uncomfortable, does it not? If you've ever encountered not only anger within yourself but anger by someone else, you know that it feels uncomfortable. And most of us don't like it. But how do you control it? You know, how do you control students who are angry in a classroom? How do you address it? Well, we're going to talk about that more this morning as we move towards the show here. And we have some callers coming in right now. We want to thank them so much for coming online. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. I'm always so pleased. You know, even though it's a new week, it's a new day, I feel blessed that you are online this morning. I'm looking forward. We have some interesting guests that have said that they're going to appear on the show this morning. And I know we have some scheduled to appear on the 28th. We have, as we close this series of shows on anger, we have some very interesting educators coming on that have committed to be on the show and talk about angry students. And they're going to specifically talk about administrators, school administrators, and how they're dealing with anger in the school. So we hope that you stay tuned, you, Maria, and other listeners out there, stay tuned for what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks while we address this situation of anger. You know, and we were just defining anger and understanding a little bit more about anger and how it can hurt an individual, but it can hurt so many people around. I said, you know, here's what's interesting to me. As I was thinking about this anger, and other people at White Apple Institute, our sponsor, shared with me that, you know, the student and teacher relationship is so different. We think it's almost the same as employer to employee, but it's not. And an employer to employee, well, if you're angry on your job and you display that kind of attitude, grant you, you probably will get fired, okay? So the angry employee doesn't, they better be careful about expressing how angry they are on the job. They can't just come in to work every day glaring at everybody and gritting their teeth and showing their fists and, you know, and talking angrily to people. You do that a couple of times and you're out the door, okay? Isn't that right, Maria?
Right.
You know, and then when you talk about the, so we know employer to employee relationship, and as far as that relates to anger, that's not going to happen. But how about the parent to child? When a parent sees the child angry, the first response usually is to calm the student down or calm the child down, okay? And unfortunately, most parents use words like shut up, sit down, you know, get over it, give the toy back, go to your room, stand in the corner until your anger is over. It's a really sensitive parent who can sit down with their child when they see the anger immediately and say, what are you angry about, honey? What's wrong? You see the difference in the tone of voice that I use. What are you angry about? Tell mama all about it, or tell dad. Okay? And it doesn't matter whether the child is a female child or male child, but we do make a difference, don't we? Male children, it is accepted that a boy being aggressive, angry, and even violent is more acceptable than the girl child who does the same. When a boy is angry, the father can go out, put some boxing gloves on him, and say, let's go out and let's work this out in the backyard. Okay? When a girl is angry, and that's why I truly believe, now I don't know of any studies on this, but I do believe that women suffer greater from depression than men do. I don't have a study to anything scientific right now to relate to as I'm online right now, but I almost would say to you without any hesitation that you will find in any of the statistics that women have more depression than men, and that is because the anger that women feel is usually not expressed. They are suppressing the anger, and it's not nice for women to go around being angry and expressing it. It's not cool. And women, when they get angry, they usually lash out in different ways than men do. Men work it out. They go to the gym and they have different things, or they wrestle with each other. You know, I have 5 grandsons, and I'll tell you, it's just unbelievable the amount of physical contact that goes on if all 5 of them are in my house at the same time. What happens, the walls shake, and they're all over the floor wrestling with each other, getting out whatever anger they have. Now, then I have nieces. Now, I have one niece that will join right in and get her anger out with the boys, okay? But most of the time, my nieces will sit in the background, and they will not allow that aggression to show because it's not ladylike. It's not acceptable for girls to express that anger. And so even now when we see it, like we were talking about last week, we had an example of a teacher who was asking, and it was actually 2 female students who had brushed past each other in the hallway, and they were angry at each other, and actually started a very violent confrontation. That was surprising for the teacher because they're girls, you know, and we just don't expect that young women will express that kind of anger, and it's frightening to us to see women expressing that type of anger towards each other. And so we don't like that. It's like, I don't know, some kind of psychological mark against our society for women to go out and start actually fighting with each other. I mean, look at the fact that some of the sports that are out there now, how many people are really into women boxing? You know, women boxing is not a favored sport. I mean, you have an audience because it's there, and I think what's her name, Muhammad Ali's daughter, is involved with, and she's a real big star in women's boxing, and there's plenty of others out there. But women boxing and women showing aggression and any type of anger is not an acceptable thing. And it should be more acceptable because we need to have that release. We need to have a release of anger from women and from men equally. And for anyone calling on any of the other lines, please note that we're on the Student to Teacher radio show at this moment, and they're welcome to call in at 646-727-3758 to join us on the show this morning. We're on blogtalkradio.com/student to teacher, and we'd love to hear your voice on the radio show this morning. But isn't it interesting how women are not, it's not acceptable for women to show anger? Isn't that something, Maria? I mean, do you agree that women should show anger?
No, it's not that good though. But I mean, we do get angry though.
Yeah, women still get angry, and women can get violent when they get angry.
Yes.
They can start hitting at someone, throwing things. That's usually an expression of anger that we see not only in the classroom, but in the home environment. Women will begin throwing things and certainly verbalizing or calling names or the most common. And I think it becomes a comedy now of people saying, you know, the woman will make a comment of, you know, you don't love me and you don't understand me. And it's really not about not being understood or that people are putting a woman down. It's just that it's hard to address anger in our society when it's shown by a woman, by a female student, by a female, period. It's just not an acceptable thing. And so we need to learn ways of expressing that anger in a more positive way, where people don't see so much of the glare from the eyes or the balled up fist or the gritted teeth. What is another way that we can express this anger without and granted, we have to express the anger now. I want everyone to really be aware that anger is an important part of our growth psychologically. And it's also a release of the adrenaline that builds up when something happens, whether it's truly unjust or not. It needs to be released, because holding it inside, again, going back to my statement about depression being the reverse of anger. So we need to make sure that we do express it, but how do we express it in a way that it's more constructive, okay? to making sure that we don't damage not only ourselves internally with our heart, with our own systems, our heart rate, our blood pressure. We want to make sure that we manage that, but we also want to make sure that people get the message about why we're angry too. You know, I had a lot of people that talked to me this week that called in or sent an email, and they said, you know, it appears that people don't want anyone to show anger. They don't like it, so they want it to go away. And unless it's in the context that I was talking about earlier, where men are able to express their anger by, you know, getting in any type of sports, but boxing and wrestling I picked out more than anything, because you can see the aggression coming out there. But and women on a very minimal level are beginning to start getting into this. But overall, I think that if you ask the average person, is it okay for you to see anger? They'll tell you no. They'll tell you, I don't like it. But I think it's a normal reaction. I think that people need to express that emotion. But when it gets out of control, it becomes destructive. And it leads to problems at work. Of course, it leads to problems at school. And just the overall quality of our life. And so we want to make sure that there are some strategies that we can use that will help people to minimize the intensity of their anger, okay? Like how examining within yourself, how prone to anger are you? Are you always angry? Some people are always angry nowadays. And we talked about last week, we talked about some of the reasons why some students are so angry. It could be because they're seeing so much going on in the media, so much going on in their world, and they're feeling a sense of hopelessness about their future. So it could be this exposure, this media exposure that's going on. But there's a way we need to look at finding out if there's a way we can manage or control our anger so it doesn't become so frightening, not only to us as individuals. When we're angry, we frighten ourselves. I know I frighten myself. When I'm angry, I don't like that feeling. So I try to move into a more positive aspect of how do I deal with anger on a more positive level? What can I do to minimize the effect of this and not be so doggone hot-headed about things? There are a lot of people who are just easily angered about anything, and you'll see that a lot today in our schools. You'll see that a lot today with people who are diagnosed with mental health issues. Now, remember that we've had an increase of enrollment in students diagnosed with mental health issues in our schools today. Now that's a fact. I don't like that fact. I wish that wasn't a fact, but it's there. And so we have many students who are on medication now, and we are even being labeled as the Prozac Nation. And many of our students that are in even the, not the K-12, but about middle school age on up, are on some type of medication to deal with either depression or acting out some kind of manic episodes. Usually, believe it or not, at younger ages, we don't like to discuss the term bipolar. We don't use bipolar disorder for younger children. We usually start slapping on labels like ADHD, the attention deficit disorder, when we see students that are acting out in the classroom, behavioral disorders, poor management. We even have a new one that's emerged in the last, 10 years, I guess, called the ODD, the oppositional defense disorder, I think that's what it's called. Quote me, anyone that knows anything about that, please feel free to correct me on that. But what it is that any student that feels an opposition to authority, and we see the severity of it and the duration of it for more than 6 months, then they get this label of ODD as opposed to ADD. Interesting. So we have all of these labels hanging around out there for our students that are in school, and that's who I'm really concerned about, because if you have that label and you're in middle school, high school level, then more than likely you're going to carry that label into adulthood, and we want to turn that around and take a more positive outlook on that and say, well, you know, how, again, going back to what we're trying to work on and work towards here, is how do we control this anger? How do we manage it? You know, we know that it has to be expressed. We know that it has to be there. Do we have to medicate? Okay. Do we have to medicate people in order to control the anger? I hope not. Okay, first off, I think it's important to know what the triggers are. And I'm hoping that maybe we can get some more callers on that are interested in talking about what the triggers are for anger. There's a lot of triggers out there. And I think that the most common trigger that we're seeing now is that we have students, and especially 16 and over, that are of working age that are not able to find jobs. Now, that's becoming a very, very angry situation because of the call in our society for people to work and to make money so that they can survive. We have to know that this is just the way it is. It is what it is, and they need jobs. People need jobs. So many times we look at unemployment and situations out there and the anger that's going on in unemployment, and we don't think about the fact that we've got high school students that are angry too because they're not getting the employment. Okay. We've got other triggers that are going on out there. We've got the triggers of parents who are not home or parents that are not available. If you've listened to the show a few weeks back, back in December, we talked about homelessness. Now, I know you're probably saying, where is she going? Where is she going? What's homelessness have to do with? We're talking about anger here, okay? But just bear with me for a moment. I mentioned homelessness as a person who is homeless. In other words, they go home and they don't have a real home. So in other words, homeless is not necessarily someone that is sitting out on a park bench or in a shelter. It could be someone who has a house to go to and the house is not a home. And so there's no one there listening to them. Dionne Warwick's song, "A house is not a home and a chair is not a chair," when there's no one there, okay? And so we look at, we took a different turn on homeless when we looked at that, when we did that show, and we talked about what a home really is. And so bringing that back into the anger issue, there are a lot of people angry because their home is just not a home anymore. We've got students who are coming home and there's nobody home. There's no one there to listen to what went on with their day. And so this kind of anger builds up and many times plays out in the classroom environment into a who really cares attitude. Who really cares what I'm angry about? Professor Applewhite cares. And over 20,000 listeners that have come in and out of this show, listening to the archive shows, they care. Teachers out there who listen to this show, who write in, they care. Other students even care. If you're listening to this show and you're feeling anger, especially if you are a student in an academic environment, in a school environment, I want you to know that there are people who care about what you're angry about and what triggers that anger. And we want to help you. We want to help you to understand those triggers and how to go back and counteract that. We want to help you so that the triggers that, and you understand when I say trigger, the thing that makes you so angry is not something that you have to go and medicate behind. Students out there and parents, teachers, if you listen with your heart to this, the first line of defense does not have to be medication. And the first line of defense does not have to be shut up, go sit down, go stand in the corner. The first line of defense for anger, here we go, L-O-V-E. I call that the first line of defense for anger. The unconditional regard of another human being. I mentioned Carl Rogers, the psychologist who's responsible for unconditional loving regard for his clients and taught teachers this, because that is the number one way to minimize the angry expression where it becomes harmful and destructive. Again, getting back to the fact that it's okay to feel anger. It's a normal response. But where it becomes destructive is where we want to find ways to intervene. And the number one intervention to acknowledge the triggers is love first. Now, that's a word we just don't hear very often in our society. And when we do hear it, there's this uncomfortable feeling about it. Why are we so uncomfortable about talking about love? When we address anger in our society, we have to talk about love. When teachers see angry students in their classrooms, can we try love first? And you might say to me, Professor Applewhite, now look, wait a minute. I've got lesson plans to do. I've got overcrowded classrooms. I've got my own personal issues at home. And you are asking me to step out of my comfort zone and express love to a student when they're angry? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send them to the principal. I hope you don't. I hope that you'll try this first line of defense of expressing love. When you see the anger right away, try that, teachers. Because your relationship, going back a little bit ago, we talked about the relationship between the employer and the employee is different than the teacher and student. Because the employer can automatically fire you. You come in angry to work. We talked about the relationship between the parent and the child being different than the teacher and student, because the parent can usually say, get in the corner, shut up, or punish you if you don't get rid of the angry attitude. especially if the angry attitude is towards the parent because they can't have something. So there's a strong control issue in both of those relationships. But when we come down to the teacher and the student, teachers, you're responsible. You're the role models out here. And, it, you know, look, many times I talk about the teacher being like the surrogate parent. That's right, the surrogate parent. In other words, because, believe it or not, you probably spend more time with the student, especially if you're in the elementary to middle school years. Teacher, you're spending more time with that student than most parents spend with their child. And so they're looking at you. And I have something else to add to that. Before I get into how do we control the triggers and how do we identify that, because I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to close the show with that. I also want to say that teachers, if you're angry and you come into the classroom angry, believe it or not, you're setting an example. You're setting the example that it's okay to express the anger. And as I said, it's okay to express the anger, but destructive anger, I've seen it. You've probably seen it. We have a caller online here. Hello, this is a 480-226 number. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to talk to this lady that I
knew
all my life.
Oh, hello.
But I wanted to say this. I have pictures of you, Karen, the way that you're mentioning now about loving another person. I have this picture, these thoughts on my mind about these. Did I think that this person was really honest and truly, but something that's your problem never mentioned. But I have you, the picture that I'm talking about is you pushing a lady in a wheelchair. A lady that was very instrumental in making these run down or roll down a sidewalk for people to be able to get on the sidewalk with their wheelchairs.
Oh, my.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
Thank you. That was many years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to the show this morning, that's my father calling in. And, wow, that took me back some years. As a matter of fact, another angry population that we're talking about.
Over 20 years.
Oh, even probably more than that. I remember.
Because I've been here.
Yes, I remember. I haven't seen that picture, but I certainly hold it out for me, will you? Because that was. Yeah, that was in Pasadena, California. It was a rally that we were doing for people who were angry about not being able to get down on the curbs in their wheelchairs in the city of Pasadena, which is one of the first cities that actually started knocking down the curbs so that wheelchairs could have access to crossing the street.
Isn't that amazing? It's all over the country, but a lot of people not recognizing that. And you were very instrumental in starting that. You and what's her name?
Donna Eldridge. Donna Eldridge. Right.
She passed on, didn't she?
Yes, I believe so. I haven't heard from her. I know her husband passed on. He was an advocate in that area. But we honor them because they were very, very instrumental in the disability movement of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
These are the things that I'm angry about. Why don't some people recognize it? Here you are already on the talk television, but people don't like to talk about themselves, and you're one of them. But this is something that's happening that was very, very important for our society. And we have those roll-down sidewalks all over the country.
Yes.
And I think that you and what's your name should get some recognition for that, because I remember when it started.
Yes. Thank you.
And the attention should be brought to that so that you are not looking for it, but at least give you some recognition of it and what's the name to recognition of it so they can help the project that they are doing today. And
yeah.
I want to say thank you. I'm just waking up, of course. I sleep all day. But I was waking up and I gave you a call and forgot this was your radio show day. But continue on doing what you're doing. Because,
well, thank you.
You are getting people to log in to you, and I hope they continue because you have a lot to say, and you are saying it sincerely.
Thank you, Dad.
Sincerely.
Thank you so much for calling in and reminding me of that, and and reminding us to also talk about the situation of when we talk about angry students. We're also talking about listeners out there. We're also talking about students. I mentioned students with mental health issues and the increase of enrollment of students diagnosed with mental health disorders. But we also have students who have physical disabilities who are angry at the administration, at the way the schools are handling accessibility and accommodations.
That's demonstrated what I'm saying, because we need more people like you and what's her name? I forgot her name.
Mm-hmm. Donna.
We need more people like that to come forward. They're not recognized. The people that are recognized are people with money and want recognition, and they fight for it and they get it. But it's not really doing anything because they don't go no further than the accumulation of money. But you demonstrated what you are demonstrating over 20 years ago, that you and what's the name was one that was instrumental in making this walk down and roll down for people to enter the sidewalk. And I want to say thank you very much. I won't take up any more of your time. Go ahead on with this show.
I truly appreciate that. And again, audience out there, you're welcome to call in. We've got a few more minutes left on the show today at 646-727-3758. Call in and let us know what you feel about why students are so angry and how that's leading to violence today in our society. Next week, I'm going to focus a little bit more on coming out of the United States and how the angry students in other places around our world are making an impact on the anger that we're feeling within our own schools here. So make sure you stay tuned next week to come back in to the show. But I was talking for a moment about the factor that, as my dad had brought out there, that there are students that are angry about the lack of accessibility of getting into and out of classrooms, into public restrooms. I encountered that myself.
I
want
to say this if I can.
Sure.
The anger that we get out is not to hurt other people. If we get angry, we do something about ourselves that will be able to help society. Not to say that I'm angry and take it out. Like some people that got their stuff down for sexism because he got angry and he shot a lot of people. Speaking of the Congress lady and all that.
Yes.
That kind of anger cannot be recognized. So you're taking that anger out and you're only hurting yourself, not other people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are involved in your anger is not responsible for the action that it has on people, like the ones that want to take control. Because they're angry, they want to take it down in society, start a movement,
yes,
a riot, or whatever we have.
Yes.
It's just to get that kind of anger out. That kind of anger we are not talking about. So that's everything that you're putting on that kind of anger. You don't get angry to hurt society. You get angry because you're going to do something about it and do it constructively. That way. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And as Mr. Applewhite related to that University of Arizona, the Tucson, Arizona situation where Representative Gifford was a victim of shooting. We can see that that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to examine anger and why we need to not just dismiss it. You know, I know that it's so important for many of us not to think anymore about the bad things that are going on in our society. And as our show is followed by Mentor Man, by Nazim Rashid's show, Reconnected, Nazim and his wife Dorothy, who are board members for White Apple Institute, by the way, and used to host this show with me, co-host, do a really nice segment on the show called Happy News. And so I hope you stay tuned for their show coming up. But what I'm really intrigued to say to you is that, yes, we want to focus on things that are outside of the negative aspects in our society, and that is important, but there also is balance. We have to acknowledge what's there, and we also have to find ways to minimize the destructive forces that result from what's really out there. And then, of course, and that balance of finding happiness amidst all of the anger, finding joy and finding, there's that key word again, love. And I'm going to come back to that. I think that love should be a premise through every show that we do, because that's one of the ways that we are going to be able to counteract some of the things that are going on in our society, is by showing love to one another. And teachers, I'm encouraging you at all levels to show this love. Now, we've got a few more minutes left, and I'm not sure whether or not, I don't think we have anyone else that's live on the switchboard this morning. We have plenty of listeners out there, but they're not, and that's okay if you choose to be anonymous. And we have one person on chat that's just, oh, we have two people on chat that are saying, that are giving us kudos for the show. But I assume that I'm answering all your questions, because you're not asking me anything at this point. And if you have anything to share in this last few minutes, please do so. Let me just open up in this last couple of minutes with some strategies, because I didn't get a chance to do that on our last show. And that is one of the strategies, in addition to love, is teaching people how to relax when they're dealing with anger. And this is done simply from breathing. Breathing exercises are very, very important. And so picture yourself breathing in from the gut area. When you're feeling this anger, try to help soothe those angry feelings by breathing in and repeating phrases to yourself, such as, you know, take it easy. I use the word relax. I just tell myself, relax, relax. And I also make sure that I say to myself, is this something that I can change? I question what I'm angry about. You know, if I can't change it, why am I wasting any energy on it? Okay? So if I can't change it, leave it alone, let it go. Visualize yourself in a relaxing place and try some exercises. Yoga is really good for minimizing anger. Okay? Now, we're going to come back to some more strategies next week. And I hope that that's going to help. The website for controlling some strategies for controlling anger, you can find some on the American Psychological Association website, which is www.apa.org. And that will help a little bit with understanding a little bit more about anger. And also, I want to close with the factor that we hopefully we understand that teachers are responsible for lighting the way for students at all ages with physical, mental, or learning challenges. When they're searching for knowledge to succeed in the world, please, teachers, be that light. In other words, it's okay for you to show anger, but show them how to control it. Show them how to examine their triggers. Show them how to relax. show them the strategies that I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this great music that we're closing the show out. God bless all of you. Much love and peace. See you next week. This is Professor Applewhite signing out.